Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You will get to see the new chair. That's the thing. Oh, you'll get to see this brand new chair that we've got here in studio. There are actually two of them. One looks more like a bar stool with that footrest toward the bottom. I've got the shorter one because it fits well under our desk here in the main studio. And I've been raving about this chair. We threw up photos of the chair. Now you'll get to see me rotating around in the chair when we do our very first live broadcast on Twitch TV. It's coming up not even 2 hours from now. It'll be the last segment of the show. I've never done this before. Producer Pete convinced me. We actually had a discussion about how this should go, and producer Pete convinced me that it would be cool, that it would make us cool, I guess. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. That's where you will find us come 2:40 a.m. Pacific time, 5:40 a.m. Eastern time, right as we say goodbye. We gone, as a nod to Thanksgiving. Now, we're going to be doing a Turkey Day draft. I haven't had a chance to put that post up on Facebook, but if you've got X or Twix, as I call it, not Twitch. Now, I feel it might be confusing people, Twix versus Twitch. You know, it's my attempt to be campy. Well, not really that. I combine parts of words, like celebrity marriages. And so Twitter and X seem to flow perfectly together. You know where to find us because you can vote for the After Hours TD of the Week for a few more minutes. Also, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I'm going to retweet that post so you can find it with mine or on our show Twix. Again, at Amy After Hours to reach producer Pete. But the idea, though, is that we're going to be live on Twitch, and we're also going to have this captured for YouTube so that you can see what it's like to be here in studio with us. Long, long, long time ago, before producer Pete was part of the equation, we had an actual movie production crew, a film production crew, come in and film us over the course of a few hours, including part of the show. And at no charge to us, they volunteered to do this. They put together a feature film, a 10-minute long feature film. Okay, maybe it was a short. There's not that much material to make a feature film out of us. But they put together a feature that was just so cool, and it really did incorporate the Star Wars theme because of my nerddom. It's on the old CBS Sports Radio YouTube channel. It's not even on our YouTube channel, but it actually took you behind the scenes. It's just that it's kind of vintage now because it goes back to the days when we had four people working on the show and a cast and crew behind the scenes that would help us get ready. Now it's just Pete and I, and occasionally Nico or Connor or Ryan, Ant. So sometimes we get some help in the evening hours getting the cobbling together our highlights and audio.
Nick, too.
Oh, Nick. Sorry about, yes, we love Nick for sure. In fact, if not for producer Pete, I would have had to flip a coin between Nick and Ryan because they're both such great candidates and I really enjoy working with them. They have different skills. But Pete, he kind of muscled his way in. He said, I'm the senior producer on the staff. I've been here since day number one. Get out of my way. The show is mine. Something like that.
That's exactly what I said.
Something like that, Pete.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Ryan and Nick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, we're 30 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. Lots of questions about the dog. Boy, do I have some good stories for you. For instance, the rope toys that we were told were heavy duty and suitable for large breeds. Within 24 hours, our new puppy, because she is a puppy. I feel like she might be Great Dane. I'm telling you, the heavy-duty bark and the sweet face of hers, the soft ears, and the fact that she's afraid of her own shadow. She thinks she's a five-pound dog, but she's 80-something pounds. She's lanky like a Great Dane. I never wanted a Great Dane. Maybe not, though, because she's only 80 pounds, except she's crossed with an Aussie, so they're about 55, maybe. I guess it could make sense. It's in the range, right? Anybody else have a Great Dane out there? Because this dog is unique. She's shredded rope toys. So the rope toys, here's what's really funny, Pete. I wanted to return them to Amazon, not because they guarantee that they're going to last, but because they told me they were indestructible and suitable for this dog, a dog of her size. Within 24 hours, the pieces are coming apart. But I went to go do a return on Amazon. Sometimes if the product is damaged or like falls apart right away, they won't require you to return it. They want me to return it. I mean, there are only pieces left. I don't really know what to return. And they're all slobbered on. So I really don't think that Amazon will take them.
I would return the pieces duct taped.
Together. Oh, my gosh. And it's really funny when she and 20-something pound Daisy play tug of war. Daisy's actually more ferocious. But the other dog is just big. And she doesn't even realize how big she is. She wants to climb into your lap. That's how little she thinks she is. Something else that we've discovered too, and for those of you who have ever rescued dogs that you don't know their past, what we found out is that she gets really uncomfortable and a little afraid if you're standing over her, which just breaks my heart. Some type of person, a person that abused her in the past. We don't know the history. We know she was dumped. So maybe they felt like she was too much work. I'm not sure. We just know that when you stand over her, she gets very defensive and also she'll hide and she won't come out of the corner or from underneath the coffee table. If you get down to her level, it's so sweet, Pete. You just talk to her in a low voice, in a sweet voice. She'll look at you. She just looks at you and with those big brown eyes. And then the tail. There'll be like a couple thwacks of the tail. That's it. She won't go full bore with the Swiffer tail, but just a couple waves of the flag, and you'll hear it thump on the floor, and then after a couple more minutes. So I had to use drastic measures on Tuesday because the dog attacked my slippers, okay? So she's a puppy. She gets anything that is within her reach, which she's tall, so everything's within her reach. So now, credit to me, I had old slippers. I made sure that I was wearing old slippers. The soles were coming off. If she grabbed the slippers, fine. I don't care. In fact, I was even going to let her have the slipper, but my sister-in-law said, oh, wait a minute though. She might think that that's okay now and start grabbing other slippers. So anyway, she had my slipper. She goes to her favorite place behind the coffee table where I don't want to reach in. I don't want to scare her. I said to her, drop it. Like, low voice, growling at me. So I think it was a play growl because she, well, I know. I'm not sure because I don't know her well enough to know if it was a play growl or if it was a real menacing growl. It didn't seem like it though because she wasn't snapping. She was just holding the slipper in her mouth going,
maybe that was a play growl.
Right. So we're not sure. She does that with Daisy. She does that when she's playing tug of war, right? She kind of growls and so I didn't want to take a chance. I don't need to lose my hand to this crazy dog. So I'll just be a one-handed radio host. It's fine. But I decided I would just keep talking to her. Drop it. saying her name over and over again. She's sitting up. She finally drops the slipper. Good dog. Way to go. Thwack, 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 thwack. Her tail starts going, right? It did not deter her, though. I took the slipper. I put it back. 2 minutes later, she's got the slipper. This time, she's under the dining room table. Like, she wedges herself under a dining room chair. I don't know how this dog does it. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Okay, this went on for 2 minutes. Nonstop growling with the slipper. And she's chewing on the button. So there was a string that was thread that came off with the button. She's chewing on it. I'm thinking, great. She's going to swallow a button. She's going to be pooping a button. She's going to be really uncomfortable, right? So I'm trying to get her to drop it. Wouldn't work. This time she was set in. She was, what's that? She was
digging in.
She was dug in. Yes, thank you, Pete. And so I go in to get a treat, of course. Works every time. She looks at the treat, thwack, 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 thwack. She knows what the treat is. But I put it on the floor where I am. She has a choice to make. This is how we find out if the dog's smart or not. Has a choice to make. So a couple of, maybe 30 seconds go by. She's still looking at me with her slipper. And then she decides the treat's more exciting. So she drops the slipper. Good girl. Good girl. I take the treat. I put it in the other room, like in her crate, so we can reinforce that behavior. And then I need space to pick up this nasty slipper and the button that she slobbered all over. So she did. She dropped it. She got a treat. My husband was a little concerned that I was rewarding her for chewing on a slipper. 3 minutes after that, she had taken a baseball off of a shelf and was chewing on that. So
Isn't it nice? Whenever you're training a dog, you have to feel like you're getting ready for a flood.
Oh my gosh.
You put everything all like high up in the air.
Yeah, we have to baby-proof the house. I'm sure you did that for your son and now your daughter.
Yes.
We're baby-proofing the house for a dog.
It's truly remarkable. Gates and
We have gates. We have a locks. Gate in front of the litter box because the dog likes to eat poo. Okay, so we just went through this with Daisy. No, you know dogs are gross when it comes to that. And then she's a licker, right? So she wants to lick you in the pew. Yeah, exactly. So the second you move the litter box, like leave it open and move the gate in front of it, she's right in there. She thinks it's cool. We just broke Daisy of this habit, and now we've got to break the new dog of this habit. But it was a better day. I will say that. My husband worked from home. He does work from home, but he wasn't there Monday. So Tuesday, he's there. I was able to sleep for all of 5 hours. She was calm downstairs mostly. He put her in the crate for a few minutes to go take our family to the train station and come back. No whining, no howling. So we're making progress. And he even said begrudgingly, it was a better day. The dog adores him too, slobbers on him, licks him, wants to sit in his lap, gets white hair all over him. So he's disgruntled a little. He's just annoyed by some of her habits and the fact that she's a puppy and she loves him. Why is it the dogs always know the people that are less inclined to be susceptible to their wiles and they know how to work it? This dog knows how to work it. But yeah, just a sweet giant, a gentle giant who clearly is afraid of her own shadow.
You don't want that eating display though
on Thanksgiving. Yeah, we don't want that. So right, there's now a baby gate that's kind of leaned up against the litter box so that Sugar can get in, but the dogs cannot. Also, we have to feed Sugar now upstairs in the bedroom because that's terrific. Who doesn't want to feed your cat in your bedroom? Right, I'm telling you. So the next big step. I went on Amazon and I got like 17 different rope toys in my cart. And so we're looking at them to make sure they actually say heavy duty and no strings on the end, tassels, because those were the first to go.
I thought you were going to say you got electrical cable and rolled it up.
No, they do have some that are balls and that have handles. So like a dumbbell. So you're not exposing the tassel so that she can pull those off. And it's easier. It's harder to pull apart. She literally ripped one in half on Tuesday. Pete ripped it out. I'm pulling one end. She's pulling the other. Snap. Right in half.
Indestructible.
Right. So there's another big test Wednesday though, because we're taking our family members to see the Statue of Liberty. They've never been to New York until this week. They want to see the statue. So we're taking the ferry. Actually, from New Jersey, from Liberty Park. We're going to the statue. She'll be in her crate for about 4 hours. Okay, so nothing, no big deal. She can take a nap, but we want her to get more comfortable in there. We can't leave her out because, I mean, The dog sleeps on the couch. She'll chew up a pillow. I'll end up having our, like, any of our food that's, not that we leave food on the counter, but like anything that's on the counter could be on the floor. Every single stuffed animal I have, she's like taken all over the house.
She'll recreate the Statue of Liberty.
Right. It'll be a brand new house when we get home. So we can't leave her out. I don't think it's good for her either because we don't know what else she might do. We know the dog eats leaves, so I don't know if she'll eat plants. So we have to put her in the crate. So that's a thing. It's a big thing. But she's getting more comfortable there. I don't know that we were prepared for a puppy. We thought she was an older rescue, like 2 years old. No. This dog is still very much in the chewing, crazy energy, knock people over, don't listen phase.
What a phase.
Oh,
isn't that a wonderful phase.
One more story. So Tuesday evening, I took a short nap. My husband went to bed. I decided no football. I'm going to take a short nap. So we got the dogs outside for the last time. We bring them upstairs. She needs a dog bed. So right now she's on blankets. I hear this movement. So light is out. I hear this movement. I realize she's moved. She's gotten up. I look over. She is draped on Daisy's bed. So now that used to be Penny's bed and Daisy claimed it. So Great Dane Mama is like draped half on. She won't even fit, right? She's draped on the bed. Her butt is off the bed. And I start howling with laughter because it's so funny. Daisy got crowded out. So she moved. Anyway, we're laughing. So the dog's like, oh, great. This is fun. So what does she do? She walks around to the foot of the bed. I told you, doesn't need a running start. Just takes a great leap and lands right in the middle of us on the bed. Get down. But you can't, we don't want to hit her or yell at her. So we just push her. We're going to push her off the bed.
A little nudge.
I'm telling you, it's Marmaduke. This is what we have. We have a white Marmaduke. Or what was the one? Clifford. Clifford, the big red dog. We have Clifford, the big white dog. That's what we have right now at our house. So yeah, she was sheepishly back to her blanket, so we need to get a bed for her. But what? Just one big jump, boom, right in the middle of the bed.
Well, if you meet a friend named Emily Elizabeth, then you know it's definitely Clifford.
Clifford, the big red dog. Anybody out there who has a Great Dane or has experience with Great Danes, I need all the help I can get. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page. Coming up in 90 minutes, we're going to be live on Twitch TV. But straight ahead, we've got Michael Duarte, who was covering the Lakers and the Suns on Tuesday night, but also the breaking news that Blake Snell is headed to Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine. Thanks for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. Happy almost Thanksgiving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for! A swarm of Dodgers on the right side of the infield. Grown men but children again. Living out their dream.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steven Nelson with the final call of the World Series. And maybe you're not surprised to know that not long after the Dodgers make history and they win their second fall classic since 2020, they're also the first team to make a major splash in free agency. Blake Snell, 5 years, $182 million. There is some deferred money, but there are no opt-outs, and the dude is ready to be a cornerstone in the Dodgers roster, the Dodgers starting rotation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're always excited to welcome Michael Duarte from NBC LA, though, alas, he's not in studio with our favorite dog, Mello. So before we talk about Blake Snell, our apologies to Bombshell Blake. How is Mello doing? Is she excited for Thanksgiving?
Mello is great. She's super excited for Thanksgiving, Mello. And we both agree. It's a shame that we're not in studio with you in person and your new dog as well, which I have seen all the photos you've been posting of. And honestly, I'd rather talk about that for 15 minutes. But if we have to talk about Snellzilla, I suppose we can do that.
All right. Well, I think we're determining she's a Great Dane. So if you have any experience, if Mello knows any Great Danes and could give us some tips We're all ears. Yes, Blake Snell, though, because he drops the bombshell. Boris and Blake and bombshell, they all go together. What's your reaction to this massive contract for the now former Padre and Giant?
Yes, Amy, I was watching Gladiator 2 earlier tonight. And so in honor of Maximus Aurelius's arms out, just like Walker Buehler after they won the World Series, the Dodgers said to the rest of Major League Baseball tonight, are you not entertained as they go out and sign the biggest free agent to fall so far in the hot stove? And I think it proves that not only was Blake Snell not messing around like he did last offseason, not waiting until February to sign, Scott Boris wasn't messing around. He didn't want to wait too long. And the Dodgers weren't messing around either to start getting ready for their title defense by signing arguably the best free agent starting pitcher at the market, a guy they've been coveting for years now. And now Snellzilla can go meet two other Japanese monsters who he'll be teammates with in, let's call it, Godzilla and Mothra and Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and maybe a third, Amy, and Roki Sasaki coming soon.
Why were they coveting him? Why did they want to bring him to town even before now?
Well, first of all, you saw what Blake Snell did to the Dodgers in the 2020 World Series. I was talking to Brent Honeywell, who obviously was on the Dodgers roster, is now a World Series champion. He was on the Tampa Bay Rays taxi squad in that 2020 World Series, and he got to watch his team lose to the Dodgers and now gets to be on the other side of it in 2024. But what he was telling me was he didn't feel necessarily in that 2020 Bubble World Series at Texas at Globe Life Stadium that it was the Dodgers who won it. He thought it was his own manager and the Tampa Bay Rays who lost it by pulling Blake Snell early from that game, allowing the Dodgers to come back and ultimately win there in Game 6. So that's something the Dodgers saw firsthand after he was traded from Tampa Bay to the San Diego Padres. He punished the Dodgers, including in that 2022 four-game NLDS loss. He was with the Giants, obviously, this past season after a really rough first start. He had an absolutely amazing second start, I believe like a 1.83 ERA in the second half. So the Dodgers said, hey, you know, if we can't beat him, join him. And Blake Snell decided to join him. And this was a guy who, when he wasn't off the board, I would say around January last offseason, the Dodgers tried to bring him on a one-year deal. He ultimately ended up going to the Giants. They tried to trade for him at the trade deadline. The Giants still thought they could compete for a wild card spot, so they didn't deal him. Now the Dodgers finally get their man, and they shore up that rotation, which as of right now looks absolutely nasty, and I think there's still more to come.
Well, let's talk about the rotation. There were, what was it, 24 different starters, the bullpen starts, even in the World Series, though Dave Roberts navigated those masterfully. What does it look like, at least on paper, going into 25?
Yeah, so close your eyes for all you listeners out there. This is what your Dodgers starting rotation, as of this moment, for 2025 looks like. Tyler Glasnow, all-star, former teammate of Blake Snell, is at the top of that rotation. Blake Snell, Snellzilla, two-time Cy Young Award winner in the American League and National League at number two. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, three-time Japanese Cy Young Award winner, obviously great in this postseason for the Dodgers at three. And the three-time unanimous MVP, Shohei Ohtani, in that rotation at four. Now, if you need a fifth guy, how about maybe a once former MVP and three-time Cy Young Award winner, Clayton Kershaw, who's expected to re-sign and join the Dodgers. Then you have Dustin May coming back from Tommy John surgery, Tony Gonsolin coming back from Tommy John surgery, and I still think the Dodgers are big game hunting. I think they want Roki Sasaki. They've been lining up and coveting him for years as well. This is a guy they can have on a very small minor league deal because he's not waiting two more years to come over from Japan. Walker Buehler could be a guy they might look to re-sign potentially if that's available. So this is just the start of it, and I think they're going to get one more starting pitcher. Try to re-sign Teoscar Hernandez, their left fielder, who was absolutely amazing for them this year. Maybe one more bullpen piece. Kenley Jansen is out there. I don't know if he wants reunion. And then I think they might call it a winter.
Oh, you think after that they might call
just
it a winter? Michael Duarte is with us from L.A. because it's Thanksgiving. He saw Gladiator 2. He's our L.A. guy reacting to Blake Snell and the Dodgers and this reunion. Okay, I'm going to throw out this, well, not reunion, but the Dodgers finally getting their man. I'm going to throw out this stat that I saw that is crazy, and I just want you to give me the first word that comes to your mind. According to the numbers now, the Dodgers have signed five players since the beginning of the 23-24 offseason, five players to contracts that are more than $100 million. The rest of Major League Baseball combined has five contracts handed out over that span that are at least $100 million. Mike.
Wow. That's my one word answer. I know you want it in one word, Amy. I'll be frank with you like Sinatra, though. The Dodgers and Andrew Friedman, this was not something they normally did. They didn't like to throw lots of years and hundreds of million dollars at guys. It wasn't until they made that trade to get Mookie Betts, and then they re-signed him to that 12-year deal. Obviously, they go out and get Shohei Ohtani for that time. 10 years there. Yamamoto, 12 years. Now Blake Snell, Freddie Freeman. They see this window right now as the title window, not just to win one, but to win multiple World Series championships. Mookie Betts at the parade looked to the Dodgers fans and said, I got three rings, L.A. I want to fill up the entire hand. So that means he wants at least two more before he hangs up his shoes, his cleats. And so I think, Amy, what that means is the Dodgers see this window, these next 5 years, six, seven, 8 years, as a chance to win multiple championships. And they're not going to be afraid of these long-term deals anymore, the big money deals and spending money. And when you have Shohei Ohtani and the money that he brings in from Japanese businesses, sponsors, endorsements alone, we were talking about this when we were in studio. Not only are they putting ads at Dodger Stadium and have dozens of Japanese companies chomping at the bit to invest money in the Dodgers, they also are doing it at opposing stadiums' fields. They want signage there where Shohei Ohtani plays. So that's why I said if you can have Ohtani, Yamamoto, maybe Sasaki, and now Snellzilla, that's just too much to give up. So they don't have that money problem, whereas a lot of local teams, small market teams, they're losing their television rights, which is a lot of where the money they're able to spend on free agent comes from. We like to call those high-class problems here in Los Angeles, champagne problems.
Oh, okay. Listen to you. Michael Duarte, before we let you go, we know Shohei Ohtani had surgery for a torn rotator cuff. Any update?
Yeah, so actually it was for a torn labrum. And what happens when you have that shoulder subluxation that you and I talked about in studio, which is what happened, the shoulder dislocation, it is usually not the rotator cuff tendons. It's that labrum in between when it pops out that can sometimes get torn. That's why sometimes you see if they can pop it back in, the labrum's intact, they don't get surgery. But if it keeps happening, it's the labrum that gets stressed and eventually tears, and they do get surgery. So, yes, he got surgery on that labrum. Thankfully, it's not his throwing arm. But it is probably going to sideline him and may mean that he will not be ready to pitch off the mound on opening day.
Oh.
So I don't think we're going to expect him, even though we'll be going to Japan, and it would be great for him to play in that opening series against the Cubs. My guess is you'll see Tyler Glasnow or Blake Snell or Yamamoto instead, and I think we won't see Ohtani take the mound probably until around May. He's going to need a little bit extra time to heal from that shoulder before he can start to ramp it up as a pitcher again.
Still, though, the fact that he played all the way through it, I don't recall if he missed even a game in the regular season. He is so durable despite the injuries. That's the part that blows me away. There are some guys, not that we need to name any, but there are some guys that would take that time off and wouldn't care about it. I know it's a work hazard, if you will. It's workman's comp. He doesn't like to miss, even when he is playing hurt, which he's done multiple times in his career.
Correct. And you know what? I don't know if that's a Shohei Ohtani thing. Obviously, we know he did a little bit with the Angels even when he was hurt, but oftentimes he did shut it down early in the season. But this might be something that's just inside the Dodgers culture and the clubhouse and the locker room. Freddie Freeman, over the last few years, he's been with the Dodgers. Even when they've clinched the NL West early and they're celebrating in the locker room, I've said, are you going to play tomorrow? He says, absolutely, I'm going to play tomorrow. And you saw what he went through in the postseason with the rib cartilage injury, well, obviously with the ankle sprain. He still was out there injured, limping through it all the way to his World Series MVP. Mookie Betts never wants to come out of the lineup. This might be contagious, and this might have led to Shohei Ohtani the same way. It's like if we're here to play, if we can play and we can post and we can affect the lineup and the opposing team's pitcher just by standing in the box, whether we're 100% or not, they're going to do that. And I think that's something that the Dodgers culture has bred.
It definitely is a culture of winning now, and they're a juggernaut, the team to beat in Major League Baseball. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to Mello, and we'll have to catch up again, especially if there are more bombshells. But we appreciate a couple of minutes, Mike. It's always good to talk to you, though we miss you here in New York.
I want to come back, too. Yeah, definitely. And obviously, New York has some high-class champagne problems as well. They're big game hunting as well. So I'm sure we'll be talking soon. To you and Pete, have a great Thanksgiving. To your new family member, I hope she has a great Thanksgiving.
Aww.
And we'll talk soon, everybody. Yes. And yeah, we'll see what more the Dodgers get. I think Roki Sasaki is the next domino to fall. We'll see.
Oh, you heard it from Michael. You can find him online at Michael Duarte, Michael J. Duarte, right? Michael J. Duarte is where
Correct.
You can find him. Yes, I didn't even look. I just know it by heart. Thanks, Mike. Have a great week.
Thank you. Have a great show, and thanks for working with me.
So he can see Gladiator 2. That was the deal. We thought he was working on Lakers and Suns, which I'm sure he was paying attention to and went after to see the movie. But good stuff. We miss Mello, though. And Mike, of course. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Coming up, pre-Thanksgiving, ask Amy anything. Last couple minutes to get your questions to our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours, or our Facebook page. And 1 hour from now, we will be going live on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet. I'm not looking forward to it. I don't like being on camera, but I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, the Dodgers were able to win the World Series even with having to piece together a starting rotation in October. They're hoping to not have that problem again next year. They're signing two-time Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell to a five-year contract reportedly worth $182 million. Signing bonus worth $52 million. There is some deferred money in the contract, reportedly up to $60 million. Snell will have no opt-outs and a limited no-trade clause. College football playoff rankings ahead of the final week of the regular season. They are the same as last week. Number one, Oregon, the only undefeated team remaining. And then Ohio State, Texas, Penn State. Notre Dame is up to 5. They take Indiana's spot. The Hoosiers drop all the way down to 10 after their first loss of the year, which came at the hands of the Buckeyes. NFL news. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones asked yesterday on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas about the possibility of bringing back head coach Mike McCarthy next season.
Well, I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And listen, Mike McCarthy is an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly. This Super Bowl winning coach.
Dallas is 4-7, but a dreadful 0-5 at home this year. They'll look to snap that on Thanksgiving against the Giants. NBA Cup, 5 games slate. It was Dame time in Miami. Giannis out with a knee injury, so Damian Lillard poured in 37 points and 12 assists. Bucks beat the Heat 106-103. Remember when Milwaukee started 2-8? Now they're back to 500. Here was Dame after the game.
Being 2-8 and, you know, not feeling good about it, and our team staying together, us, you know, continuing to fight the fight and look ourselves in the mirror at, you know, what do we need to be better about? What do we need to do to change it? And we've done that.
Elsewhere, Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal returned from injuries, and the Suns rocked the Lakers 127-100, and the Rockets outlasted the T-Wolves in OT 117-111. College hoops, number one Kansas stays unbeaten, survives 11th-ranked Duke 75-72 in Vegas. And in Maui, number four Auburn firmly beats 12th-ranked UNC 85-72. I'm Pat Boyle.
I did see that someone, it happens without fail every week, wants to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. At least no one's asking me who's going to win the NBA championship, the Larry O'Brien trophy. We're not quite there yet, but it'll happen. I don't know. That's the answer. I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. I have no idea which teams are in the playoffs right now. There's actually talk the Dolphins could make the playoffs after everything that happened. So let's give it a couple months. Producer Pete has got your questions sent in on our social media sites. Now, this is not live on Twitch, but in 1 hour, we will be live on twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet for our Turkey Day draft. Think NFL draft with food.
Gobble, gobble. speaking of Thanksgiving, what was your favorite Thanksgiving holiday? I guess which year? Mm. And where did you live at the time?
That's a good question. Let's see. My favorite Thanksgiving meals when I was a kid were always spent in Ohio. So Youngstown, Ohio area, Northeast Ohio, about an hour south of Cleveland, if you're wondering. And I probably one of my favorites, though it was bittersweet, would be the last one we spent with my grandfather. I remember we had the traditional meal. We got as many people together as we could. My grandfather, when I was 16, he was battling cancer. And we were sure it was probably the last big holiday we would have with him. And I was a junior in high school, and so I cherished that. I do remember he had some cancer that spread to his toes. I'm not exactly sure how. I don't remember what kind it was. But the cancer had spread, and I was a klutz when I was 16. And I remember I accidentally slid my foot underneath the table. I was sitting next to him, and I kicked his foot, and he winced. And I felt so bad I cried because I had hurt my grandfather. But he was so kind to me, and he was so sweet. And he was there at the table despite the fact that he was in pain and that he was battling so much. And he was always the kind of grandfather who wanted everyone else to be happy. And it's a very vivid memory because it was the last time that we saw him. He died a couple weeks later. So that was really important to me when I was in high school. Also in 2020, I know a lot of people are going to say, what are you talking about? I drove with Penny all the way to Atlanta. I drove from New Jersey to Atlanta and spent what was the first and only Thanksgiving with my best friend since we became adults. She and I cooked for a couple of days together. She has a tradition where she makes pies for every single person who comes to her Thanksgiving. On that occasion, there were 13. We made 13 pies, but each person gets to pick their own pie. So she is an incredible baker. She's the one that made the cupcakes for our wedding. So yeah, drove all the way down to Atlanta, but got to spend 4 full days with her and her boys and some people I know from when I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire. So Atlanta was also a very special memory. I did not have to spend that holiday alone.
Do you play flag football on Turkey Day?
That's a good question. I haven't in a long time. Right now, our backyard is fairly muddy, so I don't think that there will be any flag football. But, of course, when I was younger, we would play it. I didn't get to go home for Thanksgiving when I was in college. A, I played basketball, and B, it was too far to go a lot of times. And so we would do the big flag football games out in the fields or any type of open space we could find in college. So, yeah, I did enjoy that. But mostly my Thanksgivings would be basketball because of the season. And how it starts.
You're making a turkey for Thanksgiving. How about Christmas?
Yes.
What are you going to do for dinner for Christmas?
Oh, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. Not that we need to plan that far ahead. I don't get too far ahead of myself. For Christmas with my in-laws, so my husband's family, they've chosen an Italian theme this year. So I think they're going to end up doing lots of pastas, that kind of thing. I'm a big fan of the seven fishes on Christmas Eve, which is the Italian tradition, but I don't think that's the way they're going. So I'm going to make the Italian cookies, the different ones that I can make that I'll bring to the celebration. So that's one. It's Italian, so I'm thinking lots of pasta, like I said, and different kinds of sauces. That's going to be a lot of fun. For our Christmas, as in like my family, it's just going to be 4 of us, and so a lot smaller. My mom and I, we do love to bake. Well, I love to bake. She loves to tell me what to do when we bake. And then she likes to tell me why she never bakes because it's so hard and maybe a swear word here and there. And so we will do some baking just because. A couple of years ago, we did a pumpkin roll. I was jumping up and down. I was so excited. I've never made one. It was great. So yeah, we'll do some baking. We'll play some cards. We won't do a huge meal, I don't think, other than the 7 fishes. But since there's 4 of us, it'll probably be 5 fishes. Something like that.
Well, close enough, you know.
I know a lot of people do Thanksgiving style meal for Christmas. We don't. We generally just do the one for Thanksgiving, which is why it's my favorite meal of the year. Love it.
We talked about cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. It's part of our draft.
Yes.
Homemade cranberry sauce or jellied / whole berry canned cranberry sauce.
I have a memory of my brother throwing up the canned cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving one year, so I can't even smell it. It comes out in a shape of a can. That can't be healthy. But whatever, if that's what makes you happy, you can cut it. I suppose you can slice it. No, actually, we're going to have homemade cranberry sauce. My other half is doing it, but he's using my grandmother's famous recipe. So it was passed to my brother.
Very nice.
My brother passed it on to my husband, and he's going to try it. I'm nervous, but I'm excited. He's a great cook, so I think it's going to be terrific.
An awfully Thanksgiving topic for a minute. What is your favorite family adventure movie?
Family adventure movie. That's interesting because we don't all agree on the same type of films. Family adventure movie. My brother and I, we were talking about San Andreas with The Rock. We love that movie. Family, I'm going to have to think about this one because I'm trying to figure out categories for family adventure. Would that be, could that be sci-fi?
Could be. You can make it, I think it's a little open-ended.
Huh. Okay, let me think about it for a little bit. We can come back to it.
All right, we're in our area, in the tri-state area, there's probably not going to be snow, but this question comes in. Will you and your hubby build a snowman if enough snow falls, or if, I guess for the next
For winter?
Yes.
Oh, we absolutely will. In fact, while we're building a snowman, I'll be pelting him with snowballs because he needs to get used to snow. Yeah, my friends in New Hampshire, they're looking at 3 to 5 inches of snow in their neighborhood, and I'm so supremely jealous, though unfortunately that means that sometimes you end up with a smaller Thanksgiving table, right, because you've got fewer people that can make it via the travel. So I don't love that part, but I do miss the snow. And yeah, he took his brother and his brother's wife up into the mountains on Sunday when I was covering football. And there was snow on top of Bear Mountain, which is north of New York City. And they did make a snowball. So he was pretty excited about playing in the snow, even though he tries to pretend like he hates it.
What is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
Well, I have my Thanksgiving essentials, you know, that I've outlined them. I did this with Jesse Bradley when he joined us on our last show, family. But honestly, there have been many Thanksgivings where I haven't been able to see family because I've lived away from my family for most of my adult life. Friends who are like family, that's critical. Two of the last 3 years, actually all of the last 3 years, I've had Thanksgivings with friends. Last year, I had just one friend over at my house. That was it, but it was really special for the two of us. The 2 years before that, I was the only person at a large family Thanksgiving that wasn't related. 30 of them, one of me, and yet they made me feel like family. So that's been really important to me and special to me over the course of my career. So family, friends, food, of course. It's a great meal. It's a hearty meal that produces leftovers, dividends for days. The fun, the football, yes, both college and pro. And finally, the faith, because a lot of times celebrating with people of similar faith, and we're excited to have that time together, but also we're thankful that we're blessed. And we have a lot of different ways that we can outline our blessings, right? You can go around the table. You can say a prayer. You can thank people for the roles they have in your lives. There's so many different ways that you can adopt an attitude of gratitude on this Thanksgiving. And I'm going to try to do that, because if you're full of thankfulness or you're giving thanks, you can't be grouchy. And those two things can't coexist. So it's a good way to chase cranky and grouchy. Because sometimes family get-togethers do produce cranky and grouchy. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. off the Thanksgiving topic, should you ever move on from working in sports, will you be able to enjoy sports as a fan? That's from David on Facebook.
Oh, good question. I do enjoy them. I just can't watch them without processing them with storylines and stats and trends and results and playoff implications. So unfortunately, I can't enjoy them the way I could as a pure fan who doesn't have to think about talking about this game. Probably. I do enjoy still going to games, so maybe not as much on TV after all these years working in the business. Gosh, nearly 25 now. But I think that going to games, I could get back into that. I really enjoy going to a great baseball park. I love going to hockey games. The speed and the power really translates on, in person the way it doesn't on TV. I enjoy college football because of the crazy atmosphere. So probably going in person would be more enjoyable once I don't have to worry about working.
Which, if any, holiday food
items? Football
in
the snow. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No problem. Which, if any, regular holiday food items do you refuse to eat?
I don't eat fruitcake. Is that even a thing? Do people still have fruitcake?
Maybe.
Maybe. I saw a couple weeks ago someone asked me if I ever re-gifted a fruitcake. Oh, I did. One time someone gave it to me, and I did re-gift it. So fruitcake, no way. I love apple crisp and that type of thing. I actually don't love apple pie for whatever reason. It's not my favorite pie. I know that's traditional and a lot of people do apple pie. I'll do the pumpkin pie. I think what else I don't like. I don't love cranberry sauce unless it's the homemade kind. So there's another thing. I don't like dark meat, actually. Well, I'll eat it if it's the only thing there, but I prefer white meat with the turkey. By the way, determined, Pete, I'm going to do a roaster bag. Mom said, get the bag. Now, let's hope the grocery store has one on this Wednesday morning, because I'm heading there, of course, the day before Thanksgiving. She said, get the bag. Put the turkey in the bag. Follow the instructions. Done. Boom. Easy. Okay, Mom. She also did warn me to take the bag of giblets out of the turkey, because that would not be a good idea to cook it that way. Many of you have warned me. I don't want to blow up the stove. So roaster bag it is. Thank you for your questions. It's good to talk to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.